thankful to God for such talented voices.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again, so all you don't mind. I thank the Lord for such talented voices. And such gifted musicians. New Elam church family, you have so much to thank God for.
Amen.
I know that there are many, many rural churches and some urban churches as well that don't have the kind of, I'd like to say, collectivity and vibrance and enthusiasm when it comes down to music like New Elam. Justification as well as our redemption. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll take me out of self now for these few preaching moments. And may, oh God, you use me as your chosen vessel, that you might get the glory, not I, but you, oh God. Not I, but you, oh God. You get the glory. Whatever we do in God's church, you all can get the glory. Not self, but God-centered. Amen.
Amen.
I felt when I was making my reflections today about another lady who received an honor on last Sunday, and I was very appreciative that the committee had chose her to receive the honor. She's, since I've been here these few months with you, when I used to get here most of the time before everybody else, most of the time, not all the time on Sundays, I make it a habit, I make an intentionality to do that. That's between God and me. I let that rest right there. But the second person usually, when I'm here, and sometimes I get here real early, the second person that usually comes in the door is Sister Mary. Sometimes she knocks on my door. And she knocks on my door and she said, Reverend, how are you doing? You know, that makes me feel so good.
Amen.
Just the commonality of people who have hospitality in their heart. You check on the pastor to see how he's doing. He checks on you all to see how you all doing. I'm talking about Pastor Jeremy now.
Amen.
So I just thank God for the hospitality.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ. There are three things that you will agree with me, I'm sure, this morning. Sometimes you disagree. That's natural and normal in a family, as well as in a church, whether you're on a new job or whatever. Disagree. sometimes some people get into it like that. That's expected among human beings. But right before I said it, I said, thank you, Deacon Crawford, for your ministry this morning.
Amen. God and went to God. He rises from supper,
and had set aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with his towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou not wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know it. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, let me say it again to everybody. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Amen. And listen to the rescindo of Simon. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Amen. Jesus, our greatest example. Will y'all say my subject would be a topic, or however y'all want to put it, but I call it my subject matter. Will y'all say it with me? Jesus, our greatest example. Guess what, y'all? I'm glad to see Brother Twiggs here this morning. Yeah. I remember Brother Twiggs was in the hospital. And God brought him back home to his family. Yeah. One thing about him, he didn't forget his church. He comes to church to give God the glory. Amen, Brother Twiggs. Jesus, our greatest example. I started to call my subject matter on this Father's Day, Jesus, our perfect example. All right. Well, you could probably take it like that too. You want to write it down and contemplate it and contemplate it. All both of those will work congruently together. But I'm calling my sermon today, Jesus, comma, our greatest example. In my theological inquiry, based on information, I discovered that there are five reasons why Jesus came into the world. Why he pulled off his robe of divinity and put on the robe of humanity. He became Emmanuel, God with us. He came, first of all, to seek and to save the lost. He came to fulfill the law of the prophets. He came to destroy the works of Satan. He also came to give the abundant life. And he came also into the world not to be served, but to serve. Can I say that again? He also came into this world not to be served, but to serve. That should say something to the leadership of the church. That should say something to you and to me this morning. Are you a servant who wants to be served? Do you come here to serve others? That's a question all of us can ask. And let me say it again, just in case you have a problem with it. Let me say it again. Do you come here to be a leader to be served, or do you come here to be a leader to serve others? Amen. There's a difference, you know. There's a difference. Because one puts God primary, and the other puts God secondary. Did you hear me? If you say you're a leader, one puts God primary, and the other type leader puts God secondary. Which are you? Which am I this morning on this Father's Day? Which am I? Ask yourself the resounding question. You say you're a leader in God's church. We're going to examine that today. I heard some about it in Sunday school this morning. You need to hear about it continuously. Because the truth, if you're going to follow Christ and to be his servant, you have to serve others.
Amen.
God didn't give me my preaching voice just for myself. God didn't give you your singing voice just for yourself.
Yeah.
No. God didn't give you your leadership qualities and skills and abilities just for yourself. God gave us our abilities and talents and gifts so that we can give him praise, honor, and glory.
Yes.
Preach on, preacher.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to say this as I move on to my sermon. Some people like to get the glory instead of giving God the glory.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, the church will not spiritually grow in numerical numbers and any other way, financially, any other way, when that happens in God's church. Let me say it to you again, just in case you didn't hear me. I said that will not cause the church to grow. It might cause your ego to be good or whatever, but the church will not grow.
Amen.
And I said this real quickly. I try to tell some young pastors. I hope y'all are listening to me this morning.
Yeah.
Because I got a sermon for you.
Amen.
I got a sermon for you either. But I try to tell young pastors, listen to me now. I try to tell them, get all the education you can get. If God blesses you to get your D.N., that means doctor ministry, that's in Samuel Witt Proctor School of Theology, of which I'm a part. If God blesses you to get your Ph.D., your doctor of philosophy degree, go ahead and get it. Get all you can get. Get all the education you can get as a preacher, a man, a woman, a God. Study to show yourself approved.
Yes, yes.
But I said, get all you can get. But remember that God has called you, and God's calling upon your life is a sacred calling.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm.
And if you get your Ph.D., your D.N., or whatever you get in seminary, theological school, just remember that God has called you to be a minister, to take care of his people. It might be a big church, 5,000, 25,000, 30,000. It might be a church with 20 and 15. I said to those young preachers, you may not want to hear me this morning, but I said to them out there that it might be a small church or it may be a mega church. But whatever size the church is, it makes no difference with God.
Amen.
So somebody ought to give me amen.
Amen.
Am I telling some of these young preachers right? It makes no difference with God what size the church is, but it does make a difference whether or not you're reverent and with integrity. Lift up the calling God has put upon your life.
Amen.
I didn't get no amen on that one.
Amen.
But I said it. And God wanted me to say it. You see, Jesus addressed the physical needs, the emotional needs, and the spiritual needs of people.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be very apropos if the church of today would be more like Jesus' ministry? I believe it would be more like Jesus' ministry. We would have greater impact upon people's lives. And we would be greatest examples of how to live for Jesus and how to walk and live his principles. Wouldn't it be nice also if we were to develop more ministries in the church? To address the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of the members of the congregation and other people who are not members of the church, who are seeking our support. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
You see, we as Christian believers must hear well the words recorded in Luke, the 4th chapter, and the 18th verse, which says, Jesus is speaking in his hometown of Nazareth. Listen to his words. If you read it, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to give sight to the blind, and again to set the captives free.
Amen.
I heard a preacher preach on this particular passage, and you know what his subject was? His subject was God's agenda.
All right. All right.
I'm going to sit down. I'm not going to hold you down because I know it's Father's Day and you want to celebrate with your fathers, and you ought to do that because God still got them alive. So just like my father and some of your fathers, they've already gone on to be with God.
Amen.
Everybody said God's agenda. I like that subject, God's agenda. That was his subject at that time. Can I go a little bit further? Jesus expressed unconditional love for people. Unconditional means love without limits.
Yeah.
This also means Jesus looked beyond the thoughts of people and saw their needs.
Yeah.
Jesus alone has power to transform life. Mm-hmm. He and he alone can fulfill the emptiness that exists in our lives. When I was growing up as a lad and boy in North Carolina, I used to hear the old sisters and old brothers saying, I can't get no satisfaction. They used to sing that. That's right. But they said the satisfaction was in Jesus, not in the world.
Amen.
Because I also heard that same song in the world too.
Amen.
And I'm not by myself this morning. You're looking at me and all. But you haven't always been in church.
Yeah.
No. You haven't always been sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I used to hear a worldly song saying, also I can't get no satisfaction.
Amen.
And I know what they were talking about, and you know what they were talking about too.
Amen.
But the kind of satisfaction I'm talking about only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the one that can open doors in your life. He is the one that can give the kind of strength that you need for your weakness. He is the one that can be your comfort by day and your song by night.
Yeah.
He is the one that can be bread when you don't have food. He can be the one that can be water when you don't have water.
Tell it.
I wish the church would get more excited about Jesus. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I wish the church of today would get more excited about Jesus.
Yeah.
We're just too excited about so many secondary things.
Amen.
Sometimes I've seen churches fall to pieces about who's going to be in charge.
Yeah.
And some of it's still going on.
Yeah.
I've seen churches just people get all riled up and don't even hear the preacher, don't hear the singer, they don't hear anything. All that, some of them just concerned about, am I going to be in charge?
That's right.
I come to stop by to let you know that none of us are really in charge.
Right.
We're just here for a short time, and,
yes,
and after a while, all of us, including myself, we got to move off the scene.
Yeah.
Then the question is, when you and I move off the scene, who then will be in charge?
Yeah.
And guess what, y'all? God is going to still be there.
Uh-huh. Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen.
According to the language of my text, Jesus is actively demonstrating what it means to be a servant.
Yes, yes.
He gets up from the table where he is sitting with his 12 disciples and reminds them of his death that is intimate. And the text says that Jesus stood up and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And then he took a basin of water and began to wash the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
The role of a slave.
Yeah.
The role of a slave.
Yeah.
The disciples were stunned, shocked, and bewildered. Gripped in a towel was a strange appearance for the King of Glory that they had envisioned. How does he hope, they say, to control the empire of Rome girded in the tower of a slave? But you see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus was not just merely washing the dust from that dusty feet.
Well,
he was washing the crippled cobwebs of tradition from their minds and souls.
Yeah.
Y'all just give me a little while and I'll be out your way.
Yeah.
Is it all right to preach in New England?
Yes.
I'm asking you, get on to y'all. Is it all right to preach in New England?
Yes.
If some of y'all said no, I'm going to direct you quickly. Because that's why you want to come on Sundays, to you hear the word from
man,
whether it be male or female, that they're preaching God's word, you ought to come with a hungry soul and a hungry spirit that God might fill you up.
Amen.
I don't mean no harm, but we live in a mean world.
Amen.
I said, you hear them? We live in a mean world. We live in a world where people don't have time for God like they used to. We live in a world where people don't have time for the church of God like they used to. We're living in a time when people rather have activities of pleasure and enjoyment and fun instead of saying, I thank God for life, health, and strength.
Yes. Thank you.
These disciples' minds and hearts were dusty and they were filled with self-ambition. Here Jesus reminds the disciples that the kingdom of heaven is not a place for prestige, position, titles, and rank. You see, the disciples were more concerned about titles than service.
Yeah. Right.
Can I preach a little while?
Come on, come on.
Have you met any person like that?
Yeah.
Yes. I do know one thing for sure. The church can use more tower takers.
All
right. I know one thing for sure. The church could use more tower takers. I started bringing my tower, but this is my personal one, but I got some in my restroom back there that are very long. And I started to bring one of those white towels out here just so you can see symbolically what I'm preaching about.
All right.
Amen. Amen. The church, New Elam, needs more tower takers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. What do you mean by preaching? In other words, they need more people who got humility.
Yeah.
Who are meek and lowly. People who follow the fruit of the Spirit. People who love people when they don't love them. People who will walk by the Spirit and not by sight.
Yeah.
People who walk by faith and not by sight. You even need more tower takers. More folks who will serve God and worship God and honor God.
Yes.
I didn't get many amen on that one.
Amen.
And guess what, y'all? I didn't expect many. One of the biggest words, I'm not probably going to finish on this Father's Day. In the spiritual vocabulary of the Christian vocabulary is not love, although it's big, right?
Yeah.
It's not grace, although it's big, right?
All right. Yeah.
Amen. It's not mercy, although it's big, right?
Yeah.
But one of the biggest words in the Christian vocabulary in the church. The vocation is humility.
Yeah.
Humility.
Yeah.
Everybody say humility.
Humility.
This is Jesus' last Passover meal with his disciples.
Yeah.
I would like to point out here that there's coming a last in each of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
A last song, a last prayer,
yeah.
A last testimony,
yeah.
A last sermon,
yeah.
A last smile. And a last conversation, a last handshake, and a last goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell it.
This old world is not our home.
Yeah.
We are just traveling through on a level of time.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows our destiny.
Yes, sir.
One day we are going home to live with God,
yes.
Provided that he does not come in the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, while washing that dusty Judaic feet, Jesus says to one of them, says, one of you are going to betray me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Each one of the disciples looked at one another and said, Lord, is it I?
Uh-huh.
Judas Iscariot had already conspired with the enemy of Jesus,
yeah.
For 30 pieces of silver,
yeah.
The price of a slave. He betrayed his Lord for the price of a slave.
Yeah.
I have discovered that the person of persons who can hurt you the most and cause you the hardest heartbreak and worry and anxiety,
yes.
Is that person who is closest to you.
Yes.
Can I get a witness?
Yes.
And I tell you, I don't know how your family is, but some of my hardest breaks. I heard a song, another worthy song. I've been in church all my life. It said, who can mend a broken heart?
A broken heart.
That sounds like Al Green. Reverend, you said that from the pulpit? Yeah. You call Al Green's name from the pulpit? Yeah. And guess what? Ain't by myself. Some of y'all done called Al Green's name too. Because you know he went out of the world into ministry. Can I give you a little history? Although a woman tried to kill him, just like a woman tried to kill Sam Cooke. And I think she almost completed that. I'm a little history for you. Now Sam Cooke had the same problem. Looked like the more popular some of those fellows guys got, the more women seemed to trail them everywhere. I better leave that alone. I think some of y'all said, Reverend, you ain't preaching now. But let me tell you, Al Green says, who can mend a broken heart? You ought to hear him saying that. But I want Al Green to know he's still living. He's not like Sam Cooke is dead, but Al Green is still alive. But can I ask you?
Come on.
Can I ask you, Al, who can mend a broken heart? It's not in your music, Al. Although you had a hit record and made millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about that one you're talking about, Al. But I'm talking about the one who's able to do what no other power can do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about who can mend a broken heart. It's nobody but God Almighty.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel. But you gotta always feel good when you come up into the church.
Yeah.
Can I get all my manuscript now if you don't mind?
Yeah.
And can I allow the Holy Ghost to speak to me for a little while?
Yeah.
Is it all right in here? Can I get all my manuscript a little while? And let God speak to me.
Yeah.
I want you to know, Al, I'm calling Al, that your song can heal really the broken heart.
Yeah.
It might soothe the heart. It might give a romantic feeling to the heart. But the one I'm talking about is able to heal body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the King of Kings. I'm talking about the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the one who can give life and the one who can take life. I'm talking about the one who can really mend and bind a broken heart. I don't know how you feel, but as a preacher sometimes, I have a broken heart. And if the truth be told, this morning, all of us in here have had a broken heart.
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking at me. I know you're dressed up and I got the robe on, but that doesn't tell the whole truth.
Yeah.
Some of us left home this morning with a broken heart.
Yeah.
Some are going to job tomorrow morning with a broken heart.
Yeah.
Some of us are going with our friends with a broken heart.
Yeah.
But I've got news for you. Just turn it over to the Lord.
Yeah.
I've got news for New England. Turn it over to the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord. Jesus, our greatest example. He washed their feet. But he gave, in closing, he gave a divine lesson. He says, as I have washed your feet, so you wash each other's feet.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
He gave a divine example of washing their feet, of what it means to be a servant. Let me say this to you, New England. God has not called us to be popular. God hasn't called us to be an actor, a movie star. But God has called all of us to be servants.
Amen.
Amen. God has called all of us to be servants.
Yes.
I thank God for Jesus this morning, don't you?
Yes.
I said, I thank God for Jesus.
Yes.
Can I just revert now before I have the choir to sing and just sort of make this apropos to fathers? And I call them spiritual fathers. Every father is not a spiritual father.
You tell it, tell it.
Y'all remind me, can I say it one more time?
Yeah.
Every father you see is not a spiritual father.
Amen.
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 Because in order to be a spiritual father, God must be preeminent. God must be his focus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He must dream, live, walk, talk, work, love his family, all with God's focus.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a natural father and a spiritual father.
Amen.
You know, a lot of things I say is, I'm going to work about his feelings. Don't y'all go out there and say, Reverend, what I didn't say. Huh?
Amen.
I'm about to say something that might chill some of you.
Come on.
But you need to hear it because God wants me to say it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it like this. Every father, I'm not just reiterate what I just said, is not a spiritual father.
Yeah.
He's natural and he's calm-minded.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Reverend, you're in the Bible now.
Yeah.
I'm in Pauline theology.
Yeah.
I'm in Pauline theology. That's where I am. The three kind of men are spiritual, common, spiritual, and common, and natural. Everybody says spiritual?
Spiritual.
A little didactic now. In theology, didactic means to teach.
Yes.
Everybody say didactic?
Didactic.
Means?
Means.
To teach.
To teach.
So the pastor ought to be a preacher and a teacher.
Yes.
Jesus was a preacher and a teacher.
Yes.
So didactic means to teach.
Yeah.
So you got three. If y'all don't mind, since Pauline theology speaks of it in the epistles, you have a spiritual father, a natural father, and a common father.
Yeah.
That can all bring in. Because that gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Teach on real preacher. I think I'm gonna win tonight now when I'm teaching behind that podium.
Yeah.
But I'm teaching behind this one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because every man, can I say it like this? That I could say it another way. That causes a child to come into the world. It's not a real father.
Come on.
Because he can put his belt up and do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little rough, right?
Oh, yeah.
But y'all know more about it than
yeah.
He's not a real father spiritually.
Yeah.
Can I give you what a real father in the Bible says? Can I give you what he looks like? And guess what, y'all? I wrote it down.
Okay.
Just in case.
Amen.
I look next year on June the 18th, 2018, that God will have me somewhere preaching because I mean, I just go where people call me. But if I ever do another Father's Day, I'll pick my paper up again that I got right here. That God gave me early this morning. And let me read it to your fathers. All the fathers, listen to me. Because your ambition is to be a spiritual father.
Amen.
Not just a natural one to have children and all that. I just not said that. No, no. But one who honors, focuses upon God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So here. It's simplistic. It's not in vain. Harvard or Yale University written. Very simplistic. Because Jesus was simplistic.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus was simplistic. Although he spoke in parables, but yet he broke it down.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. A spiritual father puts God first.
Yeah.
Is that all right, Father?
Amen.
A spiritual father is F, faith.
Amen. Amen.
That's him. A, a spiritual father is attentive.
Yeah.
T, a spiritual father is thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's very simplistic.
Yes.
H, a spiritual father is honest.
Amen.
And I like the word, I think, was you had read somebody that used, I've been in Sunday school this morning, the word integrity came up.
Yeah.
If you use the etymological meaning of integrity in any dictionary, it'll mean honest.
Yeah.
God is looking for honest fathers.
Amen.
With integrity.
Yes.
E, effective. Mm-hmm. You can get the job done.
Yeah.
For your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, whomever you come in contact with, you are effective. Aura, reverence.
Amen.
Everybody, all fathers say reverence.
Reverence.
Reverence. That just says that your whole life is undergirded.
Yes, yes.
With reverence. Amen. For the Almighty God.
Amen.
And that you will honor him not only in church, but wherever you are, and whatever situation you're in, God will still be reverent in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I pick this up next year, 2018, I shall remember that I gave this at the Great New Eden Baptist
Church.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm asking on next Sunday, if you don't mind, family members who don't normally come to church, you know, in some way, because of one reason or the other, but please try to entice them on next Sunday, please, to come to New Eden. Because we're going to have a summer time celebrating 150 years
Amen.
Of serving God.
Yes.
Amen.